I'm so thankful to be here today, and I always look forward to coming, whether it's Sunday or Wednesday or whenever we gather. I'm thankful for that. Thankful that God is able to extend our families, get to know people better, and then make connections with them, and to show our love to one another, and to where we just feel so much at home. I appreciate Brother Billy's prayer, and certainly on behalf of Kathy and myself in that prayer, and just so thankful. His mercy is endless. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, goes through the genealogy here, Joseph. Let me look at the ninth verse. And Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias. So right there, this puts the king that I would like to talk about today in this lineage here. And yet the names are all different in the Old Testament. I want to talk about Jotham, whose son was Ahaz, and then Jotham's grandson was Hezekiah. And there's much about Hezekiah, and I love talking about that particular good king. But Jotham was a good king as well. And so that's who I'd like to... I just wanted to start there to show where he is mentioned in the New Testament here. But I want to go to 2 Kings, the 15th chapter, and set this up a little bit. He's first mentioned in that 15th chapter of 2 Kings, about the fifth verse. And the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. A few months back, at some point, if I'm not mistaken, I tried to preach on Uzziah, and or Uzziah. It's pronounced different ways if you look at different pronunciations. But his father was that king that, if you remember, went into the temple and offered incense on the altar. And he was not to do that. The priests were to do that. The priests, fourscore priests, and the high priest confronted him on that. And as they confronted him, Uzziah, God struck him with leprosy on his forehead. And so then his son Jotham, who was 25 years old when he began to reign, reigned as king, but in tandem with his father Uzziah. He was in a separate house having that disease of leprosy there. And yet Uzziah, as we've read and studied, and we'll see a bit of it here, was a good king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and yet made that terrible mistake there. And Jotham, his son, did not follow in that mistake. He did not go on into that. He was a good king. But that's when he's first mentioned here in this 15th chapter. And then he's mentioned throughout this. But really, most of this chapter 15 covers the kings in the northern kingdom of Israel. There was a divided kingdom at that time. Israel itself as a nation was divided. There was the northern kingdom of Israel, whose capital was Samaria, and then the southern kingdom of Judah, whose capital was Jerusalem, where the temple was, and so forth. And so Jotham was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. So if we can lay that out. But throughout this chapter 15 here, he covers Israel. And yet the Lord, in his inspired word, lays out, he connects who was king in Judah at the time of a king in Israel and lays that out very plainly. Again, I appreciate that so much as we try to research church history and all we have is a couple of initials and God lays it out here when we need to know that. If we don't need to know it, we don't. But so we go on and I'm going to head toward the end of this 15th chapter and then jump over to 2 Chronicles. I want to grab one thought here as I head down to the 32nd verse of this 15th chapter. In the 28th verse, it's talking about Israel and the king, Jeroboam. But that verse 28 ends with the phrase, "Who made Israel to sin?" We know that one of the prophets was sent up to the town of Bethel in the northern kingdom at some point because they were very, extremely guilty of idolatry. And so God called one of his prophets in the southern kingdom to go up there. And he was told by the high priest up there, you go on home and prophesy in your own kingdom, not here, but that's where God would have him to go. And so Israel, just to give you a picture of this heading into this subject, Israel was deep in sinfulness, idolatry. That's what they were doing. So this, as we look at the reign of Jotham, the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, we'll see that's the shape that Israel is in at this time. Down in the 32nd verse of this 15th chapter, 2 Kings, says that Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So he lays that out, the length of time, how old he was. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. So it mentions his mother there, and we know who his father is. Good father, made mistakes, but he had good parents. And speaking of Jotham here, in the 34th verse says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. And yet he did not enter into the temple." We'll see that over in 2 Chronicles. "Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord," and then it mentions the rest of the acts of Jotham are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. And then 38th verse wraps up his life here, "And Jotham slept with the fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father, and Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead." So then comes along his son Ahaz, and then after that, Hezekiah. So that's the sin, and that's just a brief, layout of King Jotham's life here. But remember, Israel in that 28th verse, that they're still their wickedness there, idolatry, and even here in Judah, in Jerusalem, and in that southern kingdom of Judah, where Jotham, this good king, is reigning, there's still the high places, which are where the idols are, that they bow down to, they sacrifice to. And so that's still going on there. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 27, get into his actually things that took place and bring some points out in this, Lord willing. 27th chapter of 2 Chronicles. So we once again, first verse begins how old he was, how long he reigned in Jerusalem, who his mother was. So as we move forward in this, we see, as I mentioned, he had good parents. That's so important. I feel like that I had good parents. Each parent, whether it's a single parent or a married couple, they raise their children as they feel like is the right way to do it. And mine did it different than others and all, and their personalities do go together. As I've said, it took Kathy and I both to raise just one child. It was a challenge, and so we can empathize with parents, but yet their children have different personalities than our child did, and so on. But Jotham had good parents, his mother and father, and so. But yet, as we go into this subject here, and I go toward my text, which is really 2 Chronicles 27 and 6. Having good parents, as we can, you can probably think of ones, things that just did not turn out as well as it could have been, and no fault of the parents, the world, and we'll see the situation in the world at this point. We know what the world was like in the time of Jesus' walking here on the earth, the depravity, the sinfulness and wickedness, and all, even in the temple there. And then fast forward to today, and we see, and as Brother Billy in his prayer mentioned some of this, the turmoil and the conflict that we have, we will see how King Jotham handled this. But he had a good beginning as a child, and now he's 25, and he began to reign. And his father is still there, struck with leprosy there in a separate house. So we'll move along here. He says again in the second verse, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did." And but he adds some more to it, different from 2 Kings. "Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord." So he did not commit that sin that his father committed. So that's something else that happens as we have to choose and our pathway of life, and we'll see how he chose that, how he decided what to do, which is exactly how we should decide what to do in our lives as well. But he didn't do that. And then it says, it finishes up that verse, that sentence, "And the people did yet corruptly." So Jotham, being this good king, he has the northern kingdom, the other Hebrew people up there doing wickedness and evil, idolatry. He has his father, he's just made this terrible mistake where God struck him with leprosy. And he has his own people in his kingdom who says the people did yet corruptly. This is the scene there. And yet Jotham was able to stand firm. He set his ways. He established, he prepared his ways as solidly as anyone, any Christian, any child of God could, with the help of God Almighty, in view of all this around him, completely surrounded by that. So I can't blame, well, I made this mistake or that mistake yesterday, but look at all the depravity and the sinfulness around me. No, we're able to, through God's blessing, to stand firm in Him, and there's blessings in that. Already being children of God, I don't have to tell you that the way you act in your life, the paths that you choose, that they have nothing to do with your final destiny, your home in heaven. That is secure in Jesus Christ. But it certainly affects us here. It does, and those around us. And I would much rather have something that is some mistake that I make, something that I do that's wicked or evil affect me or my life. But when it starts affecting those around me, then that's, I don't want that. And so I fear that. This is the situation as I described with King Jotham. Let me jump and get a verse out of Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we'll quote David here. 51, 54 Psalm, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, in that prayer, create within me a clean heart, O God, the point is he's praying for a renewal of that. David had a clean heart. God had already turned his heart of stone into a fleshy heart and has written God's own laws there in his heart. But he's desiring to renew a right spirit within me. Let me grab one more psalm, Psalm 73. 73, that first verse. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. The reason I read those is that Jotham has a clean heart. His soul and spirit, he is a born-again child of God, or else he would not do that which was good in the sight of God. It's an evidence of him there. And so Jotham already has a clean heart, as David did, but we pray that the Lord would keep us and renew us day by day. So, in this, and I'll make this one last point on the circumstances here and then move on, but in the surrounding corruption and wickedness here with King Jotham, and him having to, certainly he needed assistance in standing firm, certainly from God. But in John, Gospel of John, chapter 17, if I can find the 17th chapter. There it is, right before 18. 15th verse, as I know I've gone here before and made this point, but it's a good point to make it here at this time. 15th verse, 17th chapter of Gospel of John. Jesus Christ says, I pray not, he's praying his prayer to God, his Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He's praying here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He existed, and I know that God, and it talks about God in the Old Testament, but Jesus Christ is there then as well. Now, at that 15th verse, he's praying for his disciples, his apostles and all. But then in the 20th verse, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He doesn't say that if they will only believe in me, that I will bless them. Those that believe in me, already they believe. John 3:16. He prays for them as well. I have no doubt that Jesus Christ was praying for King Jotham here. And to provide him the strength that he needed as he prays for us. And not only that, I think when I begin to think about the presence of the Comforter that Jesus Christ sends to us then, and I'm reminded of it, when we see answered prayers, when we feel lifted up and singing the songs of Zion, when we feel the feeling of the emotional and spirit led prayers, then the preaching of the gospel when we're lifted up and pointed to God, because we have that ear to hear the word of God, then I'm reminded of the strength in that Jesus Christ, in fact, is there for us at any time. And so I'll remind you of that back in the 27th chapter of 2 Chronicles, in the moving on. It mentions again that he built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel, he built much. So he did, much like some of the other kings did, they were building and restoring and rebuilding the temple. And Nehemiah talks about the walls of Jerusalem. And also they did all that. Hezekiah actually tore down all the high places, these ones that we say still exist here in the time of the reign of his grandfather, Jotham. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah. And in the forest, he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. I won't read the rest of that long verse there. I'll move on. But the people there that he won this battle over, each year they would give gifts to Jotham, King Jotham. So now, brings us to verse 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. We see in our lives, we also read in God's Word many times where someone, they were blessed in some facet of their lives. I see it today again. And we may not know why, other than maybe just be the mercy of God. We don't know. We can't read into their hearts. And all here, it tells us that he became mighty, and then God tells us why he became mighty here. To be mighty, I think of being powerful, and he won battles here, and he did later and all. But it is to prosper and to prevail. It says he prevailed over the Ammonites, but it's also to take courage. Jotham, the king of Judah, took courage. Why did he do that? Because he prepared his ways before the Lord. Take courage and fight valiantly. Stand fast with sword in hand. The second verse, the second score of that last song that we sang. So we're to do that. And I know that song, it looks to, and that we know that the church and Canaan's land are they point to heaven itself. And so there's some differences there, of course. Here, we're to stand, take courage, be mighty in God. But let's see, how was he able to do that? Because I may not be able to do that. Maybe I can't, maybe I falter and fall. It's because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So he established. Prepared means to establish or to fix or to order his ways. He did that. He prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So before the Lord his God, that's in his presence. That's in his presence with reverence. That's what that word, the long definition of that, but in the presence of someone, acknowledging their power and the reverence that you have for them. So when he prepared his ways, when he set things in order, he did that knowing that he was in the presence of Almighty God. And it's the same God today that in which we prepare our ways. And I've seen that. I don't find if I need to look at someone who's failing at any of this that we're to do, then I'd look at myself and not around me. You all have been an encouragement to me in doing that, take courage and fight valiantly, stand fast with sword in hand. That's what King Jotham did. Because he prepared his ways before the Lord, his God. Now, in Jotham's time, we see in Isaiah, the very first chapter, very first verse, King Jotham is mentioned there. He had prophets to help him. He had Isaiah, and he had Micah. He had, I believe, Amos, I believe one of Hosea. So he had these prophets around him. He wasn't, as I mentioned about David praying in those caves, and being in a cave when you feel alone and you're suffering, and yet there's hundreds of people or men around you, you can still be feeling alone deserted. But Jotham had, and he was alone in what he had to do, the decisions he had to make, but he went before God, prepared his ways in the presence of God, but he had these prophets to support him, to help guide him, because they were God-called prophets here in this time. They were all contemporaries of one another. And so bring it again toward today. Certainly we should be like Haggai and Zechariah, in that they profited by their prophesying. And so Jotham did by these prophets. Today, we should profit by, and we should be blessed by the ministers of the gospel. As you well know, that has not always been the case. If we trace back to some issue, some church division or something, not half the time, more than that, it goes back to a preacher. I can say that I are one. So we watch, we try not to repeat history in that. And sometimes it's difficult when we're trying to take a stand. But the ministry should be a support for the church of God. And it's not just like at work where I support users and people using software and so forth, and that's it. We are assigned the responsibility of supporting and lifting up and encouraging and exhorting and guiding the very saints of God Almighty. That the saints of God, they've been made saints by God Almighty, through the Holy Ghost, been made holy and washed clean by the blood of Christ. And that's who, so that's the responsibility and the pressure on that. But yet it comes the other way. The congregations, those saints that I'm referring to in the church and outside of the church, the children of God, they support the ministry in that. I've witnessed that. I've felt it, and I have, and that's what we're to do. Sometimes it's stronger in some places than others and weaker in others. So Jotham had these prophets here that helped him in this, that the Lord sent for him and for the others, for Israel. I must remind myself when I fail, when I have my own Apostle Peter experience, the trial of my faith, where I deny Christ right after I've told him I'd follow him right up to death, and then I deny him. Jotham's father, Uzziah, when he goes into the temple, and instead of when he offered that incense on the altar there, when he shouldn't have, and the priest confronted him, instead of just saying, backing down, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, and go on, he stood his ground and lost his temper. We see what happened. But when we do that, it's not just us, I dishonor God Himself in that. And yet, when we are blessed, as Jotham was, as Peter finally was, when Uzziah, King Uzziah, was blessed to follow God, it's evidence of God's power and His the reverence that we owe Him in our lives, and we should do that. I don't understand the fullness of that when I can now say, I hope I get to heaven. I feel like I will be in heaven by Jesus Christ Himself. But when I get there, I'll know the fullness of God's love. I don't understand it completely now. I see His mercies. If you just knew the mercies that I see just in my life, in what I do in my life, it's just overwhelming, His mercies. And then when I see it go beyond mercy and into grace, when He showers, just rains down upon me, the undeservedly, the things that I get in my life, When we, in younger days, chose to move our membership to a different church down there, and there was some conflict and turmoil and so forth. And I thought after I could look back in clearness and see that God had prepared a place for us to go. He didn't have to prepare me a church to go to, but He did. And then we moved up here, and we go on through. And then little did I know that a group over here so close to me, as Brother Billy mentions a lot, how close we are, and others drive a long way to get to their churches. Little did I know that there was a place over here for me and Kathy that we would so quickly feel so much at home. But that tells us, that's evidence, that God is in the matter. He is there in it. And so then do I relax? No, I worry. What am I going to do to mess this up? Then that's how I live. But I keep seeing His mercies and His grace upon us. And when it comes down to it, none of us are worthy of it. None of us. Jesus Christ, He is the worthy one. And yet we crucified Him on the cross. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before in the presence of God Almighty. That's what we need to do. That's what we, and I believe so many times we're blessed to do that. We are to do that. And this goes a lot with sanctification here in time. I mentioned that King David's heart was cleaned and made perfect, his soul and spirit, as King Jotham's were. Ours have been. We still sin because of the bodies that we, our vessels here of clay. But we've been sanctified, made holy through the Spirit by the work of Jesus Christ. But there's some sanctification to do here. That just means simply to set apart. We're to set ourselves apart from whoever it may be, or whatever it may be, certainly evil and wickedness and idolatry. I've tried to preach on idolatry, and that's something we battle. But so all of this goes right along. We prepare our ways according to the Lord, and that's part of our sanctification already being sanctified. Now, in Job, the 11th chapter, Job chapter 11, the 13th verse, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. We know that we have sin. And that it's there, but we also know that we have perfection and righteousness of Jesus Christ within us. And so we're able to do this. We're able to prepare our heart and stretch out our hands toward Him because He holds us. And we can place our iniquity far away. And then it goes on and says, for then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Be steadfast, be firm and established, be prepared because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away. Now, let me close with Psalm 112, I believe. I don't like to be that preacher that says I'm going to close and go to 15 more verses, but Psalm 112, verse 5, let's just begin there and get a couple of verses. A good man, this is verse 5 of the 112th Psalm, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. He will guide his affairs, prepare his ways. Surely he shall not be moved forever. That's being established, being prepared. being strong. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That's what it all comes down to. And we can see evidence in God's word. He's given us the experiences of King Jotham, his heart was fixed. We saw Hezekiah's experiences as well, and so many others. So his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He should not be afraid of evil tidings. Jotham was not. Because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. There. His heart, eighth verse, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. His heart is established. I know that my heart, soul, and spirit, we're eternally, there's righteousness there. But it's a struggle. It's the warfare that we have, the two creatures within us struggling against one another. But as Jotham had the help of Lord God Almighty, and I believe of Jesus Christ being eternal, the Son of God, and the prophets, and others around him that's not mentioned here, and we've been made kings and priests unto God, as we reign in our little kingdoms here, and we look to the great King Almighty God Himself, then reigning over all, then we put our trust in Him. And we prepare our ways. We stand fast with sword in hand. Take courage. And it's difficult sometimes. But that is, in so many other ways, that is what the church itself is for. It's to support one another. I have felt that in my life. And I know it's so easy to fall from that and not come. Knowing, I think it's easier probably for, I'll just say for me, knowing that I'll still be in heaven, even if I don't do what I should here, but showing evidence that God is within me. And I know that I'm justified by faith, that I know that God has blessed me and fixed Himself within my heart. And so I pray that He'll bless me and us to prepare our ways before Him. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now. Open the doors of the church. If anyone has a desire to join, you let us know.